Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jared Goff has a higher completion percentage this year than Tom Brady ever had in his career.
He must be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's funny because I was listening to the discussion and that they were having on the show, and at some point I just went, okay, fine. Look, it's not them; it's other people that are saying it, right?
Yep.
It's not the Good Morning guys weren't doing the hot take stuff, but they're discussing what other people are. And my reply to what other people say, okay, good, hook them, whatever.
Yeah,
you like that? That's good. You know what I like? I like 15-2. I like home field advantage. I like the chance to. I like Lions' chances of winning this game on Saturday.
I really like Jaden Daniels.
I really like Jaden Daniels.
Here's the thing about Jaden Daniels, though, because this happened all throughout Matt Stafford's time in Detroit. I'd rather have Sam Bradford than Matt Stafford. I'd rather have Carson
Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz than Matt Stafford. All these guys that came in that got off to hot starts as rookies that people would call us and tell us they'd rather have him than Matt Stafford. And Daniels has been awfully impressive. It is year one. And there are other guys. I mean, I guess this could have been done last year with C.J. Stroud and maybe even Jordan Love. But it also is completely irrelevant to the topic that is most important. Who's going to win this football game Saturday night? Is it going to be the Detroit Lions or the Washington Commanders?
If they switch at halftime quarterbacks?
Right.
It's like, that's how stupid the conversation is.
All right. If they were to switch quarterbacks, who would win? And how does it impact the Cowboys?
I think we just went up another million Scoble units. That's what I think.
Well, the thing is, the truth is, your take is 100% spot on. I feel like I'm starting an argument that I don't even really care if I win or lose. All that matters is who wins the damn football game.
It's
100%. It's all that matters. And did you make it into work safely today? Those are the only things that matter.
It's like when you can see yourself getting into an argument with somebody and you know that you can't convince that person otherwise. Mm-hmm. Right. And this is probably most arguments. Here's a little tip in trying to get out of it. So you're like, because it's going to be frustrating to you because nobody's going to convince the other way. Just say, oh, okay.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Good for you.
Cool. Hook 'em is such a great response. But. So there you go. We got the Blitz thingy coming up today at 10:30. We got a Who's on Top schedule for day. We got coordinator sound. Coordinator sound. We'll hear from the two coordinators who are in the headlines all the time. Did you see the latest? We'll get to your phone calls. People already want to talk. Remember, it was earlier this week, Kang, wasn't it, that you had the pseudo prediction?
Which prediction? I say a lot of things.
Yeah. The Vegas Raiders. If Ben Johnson doesn't get the Raiders job, if he doesn't end up in Vegas, you think he's coming back?
Yeah. I just had this weird, you called it kind of a weird, maybe bold-ass prediction, but I just thought, you know what? If he doesn't go to Vegas,
you think
he's
it's
coming
Vegas
back to Detroit.
It's Vegas or nothing.
Yep, Vegas or bust.
Well, in the last 24 hours, Pro Football Talk tweets out the following. For the past 6 days, talk has been intensifying that the Raiders will hire Ben Johnson. At this point, it's looking like Vegas or the status quo for the Lions offensive coordinator. Dun, dun, dun. Kang?
Well, I'm hoping it's status quo.
Sure.
And I did say keep Tom Brady away from Ben Johnson this week.
Check Kang's contacts for Florio. Mike Florio.
Feeding him some information.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of information out there. Who knows what to believe, what to trust, and whatnot. And there are some people that say that, you know, Ben Johnson's only going to go somewhere where he's going to feel comfortable with the GM. And Raiders don't have a GM right now. So does he have a say in that? Are the Raiders going to try to follow some kind of familiar formula that the Lions did, where they hire the coach before the GM, even though it was kind of done at the same time, but that's behind the scenes stuff. Well, are they going to try to do that, or are they just going to do what's on the surface there and hire the coach and then hire a GM? And hey, maybe you guys can talk. I don't know. I tend to agree with Kang. I think this is where this is going, because the other, like, I don't even think the Raiders' job is all that great right now, right? But there are only 32 jobs in the NFL. So that's the thing. It's the timing and where you want to go. I don't know what's in Ben Johnson's head of what he thinks is the best, you know, system for him to go to, the best organization for him to go to. But if it were me and I'm interviewing for all these jobs, there is certainly a bunch of them that I would just cross off and say, no, wouldn't work for Jerry in Dallas. Don't want to go to Jacksonville because that's just an S show of what they have with ownership. You know, the Bears never get it right. And who's even calling the shots with the Bears? You still don't know that. You just start shooting stuff down. The Jets, do you want to go into the pressure cooker of New York? And that's been an abject failure for years. And what are the kids running the show there and watching Madden to figure out who to draft and stuff like that? So it comes down to basically the Raiders. And what do the Raiders have? Do they have a quarterback you think you really like? Are you going to be able to draft one? Do you love a quarterback that's going to be there? What are they drafting, sixth? Are they going to be able to get Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward at six? And is that even who he likes? You know, it's interesting because Ben Johnson's not doing any scouting right now. So it's like you're almost tied. If you're the Raiders, are you tied to a quarterback at this point? And what if the head coach comes in and is like, yeah, I don't like that guy?
Have you learned nothing? Kang, he's learned nothing. The way this works is you're supposed to say Ben Johnson will go to Vegas. He will draft Jalen Milroe at six, and he will be better than Jared Goff.
Sorry, you're right. You're right. My bad.
Hot take.
There it is.
Yeah, but Gator, everything you described is the reason why they're looking for a new head coach. There is no great. These teams are looking for new head coaches because they're not good, whether it's on the field or off the field. And I think that you can turn it around quick in this league. You can see that. And then whether you don't, you know, have a high draft pick or your quarterback in waiting, there are only so many positions available. As far as the upper management goes with the Raiders, I'm more. Listen, if they get Ben Johnson, that's one thing. They might poach the front office here and take a guy for Ben Johnson who's familiar with,
you know,
Ray Agnew, Dorsey, Spielman, maybe Lance Newmark from the Commanders right now. He worked with the Lions organization. So I think they'll figure all that out in the end. I think if he wants the Raiders job, if Tommy Brady's dreamy eyes gets him to take Las Vegas, then he's going to worry about the rest later.
Well, that's another thing.
We will get to your phone calls and feedback coming up here on Carson Anderson, and we will continue with the hottest of effing takes you've ever heard. 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Let's go to Andy on a cell here on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up, Andy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right, Andy.
Good. Thank you.
Hey, just wanted somebody to kind of talk me off a cliff that I'm on. It's a Cliff Kingsbury, and I'm a little, I don't know, I think I'm getting happy feet close to the game. I'm a little nervous about what the Commanders are going to bring. More specifically, our rush defense, you know, like after watching the Vikings game, we're holding them, you know, we're pressuring Sam Darnold. After watching them play the Rams, I'm thinking more of our pressure was just how bad the Vikings offensive line actually was. And, you know, if we're going to play man-to-man defense against Cliff Kingsbury, who's coming from college, he's played a bunch of man defenses. You know, I'm a little worried about a pass rush getting home, man defense. Everybody's looking away from the quarterback, and Jaden Daniels is just going to start running around like crazy. I think the only thing that's making me sleep at night right now is honestly Dan Campbell's record against good-looking young coaches. You know, like LaFleur, Sean McVay, you know, Corrales, you know, all these guys. Kevin O'Connell's not bad-looking, but I'm thinking Cliff Kingsbury's just enough good-looking so that Dan Campbell's going to make it a personal game.
The head coach over there is Dan Quinn, so let's debate his attractiveness.
I think Dan Quinn, you know, the backwards hat on Dan Quinn helps him, I think. You know, he's bald up top, but, you know, the backwards hat kind of gives him a little spunk. He's a defensive guy. I don't know.
Typically, it's a really good look.
Oh, would you flip that hat around, Doug? Which, by the way, Doug's been wearing his hat backwards forever. He hasn't stopped.
Andy, if this will help, I'm sure they're not taking the Minnesota game plan into the Washington game. They're completely different offenses, right? I mean, they're completely different offenses. There's no reason that you would defend Sam Darnold the same way you defend Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's going to be a slightly different game plan. But, I mean, for the Lions game plan, across almost every week has been man defense, try and get to the passer. I don't see it changing that much. They're still going to bring a lot of heat. They're still going to play man defense. I'm worried about Scary Terry and how fast he is. They call him Scary Terry because he's fast. He makes everybody look not fast. He's probably the second fastest player on the field other than J-Mo. So I'm just a little worried about it. I'm getting kind of happy in the pocket right now. I just need somebody to talk me off the cliff. Well, I've been thinking Lions blow out all week, and now I'm a little nervous, not gonna lie.
Well, were you worried about Justin Jefferson? Kind of worried about Justin Jefferson. What'd they do? He didn't do too much?
No.
No? And they also had Jordan Addison. Was that anything? They had T.J. Hockenson, too.
Yeah. I mean, their weapons are probably
a running back.
Probably significantly better than Washington's, really. I mean, honestly, they are.
But by the way,
I respect Washington. Like, I don't want to turn this into, like, I have no respect for them.
I heard them say in the morning, they're doing some comparisons, and somebody said about McLaurin that he's not a top 10 receiver like St. Brown. And I'm like, yeah, he is. Terry McLaurin's outstanding. Terry McLaurin is outstanding. The reason he doesn't get more recognition is because he's playing with a rookie quarterback. But together, those guys are going to rise, just like, you know, Nico Collins has with C.J. Stroud. It's a very similar relationship. I respect the hell out of Jaden Daniels. I respect the hell out of Terry McLaurin. I think the Washington's a really good football team. And I think the Lions are way better.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm getting ready for a game, I tend to try and find, I can't remember which president. We had a president, might have been Truman, that had the great quote, "Things are more like they are now than they've ever been before." And so I'll go watch like the last few games to because they're more like they are now than they were earlier in the season. And the thing that has happened with Washington is that Diame Brown has emerged as a legitimate wide receiver threat. He had 16 catches in their first 12 games. He's got 19 in their last five and has really developed. And he's a player to keep an eye on and could be a problem. They've got weapons. I do have respect for them, but I don't think that they are unstoppable. And the one thing about the Lions is you can make a case that they are close to it, closer than any other team in the league to being unstoppable. And that puts teams, and it'll be intriguing to see if Daniels, if they fall behind, does he play within himself and they just keep chipping away and try and steal a possession somewhere? Or does he press, right? He's still a young quarterback. Last week, they were a Jamel Dean slip away from, he was a Jamel Dean slip away from giving up a pick six, 100-yard pick six. He will, you know, just because he's been exceptional at the end of games, and it really is incredible because, I mean, we've seen it. We saw it on display this year. If you compare Caleb Williams in crunch time and Jaden Daniels, what he's done in crunch time and the six wins with their last score coming within 10 seconds of the end of the game or overtime is a remarkable stat. It's hard to even find yourself in that situation six times, let alone win that many. Tons of respect for them, but they're not unstoppable. Their last And here are some point totals for them. They scored 24 against the Cowboys in a loss. They blew out the Panthers, which a lot of people do. They scored 27 against the Saints, and they scored 23 against... No, I got this wrong. I'm sorry. My apologies. This is wrong. I'm looking at Tampa's game log. One moment, please. Yeah, I mean, 23 against the Cowboys. That is correct. And 23 against the Buccaneers. That's their last two games. The Lions have 23 at the half. You know, I mean, so it's... They have to score like every single possession. They have to, I mean, and they don't really, it's not literally, but you gotta feel that way when you're playing Detroit.
You do have to feel that way. But Washington is also one of the top scoring teams in the league. They've been able to score points, but to your point, lately it's been a little bit harder to come by. So I think they are a dangerous team offensively because of Daniels. But it's funny. It seems like they can go off and score any time, and yet they don't have those games anymore. Like, they started the season doing that. Remember the beginning of the season, they were all these, like, every drive was a scoring drive. But then things changed because Lee got to see them a little bit, and they came back down to earth to an extent. But this is a team that you have to be wary of what they do offensively. Defensively, you know, this is where I think there's a major advantage. The Lions' offense versus Washington's defense, I think, is a major advantage to the Lions, whereas Washington's offense versus the Lions' defense, I mean, just straight up, I would say that Washington would have the edge, and yet we've seen the Lions rise up and be like, wow, where did that come from? How you doing? Like the last game of the season against Minnesota. We know what the Lions are capable of. Is Washington capable of the same to Detroit's offense?
By the way, I know you're wondering, it was Dwight D. Eisenhower that said things are more like they are now than they've ever been before.
All right.
So, and I'll tell you what.
So one after Truman.
I think Dwight D. Eisenhower is better than Jared Goff.
You like Ike?
Yeah. I think he's better than Jared Goff. I'd take him right now over Jared Goff.
Well, maybe not now.
Yeah, even now.
Wow.
Rick, you're on 97 on a ticket. Hi, Rick.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're good, Rick.
Hey, I just want to follow up on a comment with the guy from that scared of Cliff Kingsbury. I'm not scared of Cliff Kingsbury. I know Daniels is a threat to run, and they got McLaurin, but we also got an offense too. And here's what we've got really: home field advantage with the noise in that crowd. Daniels played in some big college games. I don't know if he's ever heard the noise that he's going to expect this Saturday night. Another comment I'd like to make, I heard the other day something about one of the Commander's tackles gives up quite a few sacks. So is that where Z Smith lines up against? Hey, look, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not scared. The Detroit Lions has an offense. We got Arnold back there. We've got defense. We've got AA back. I know there's Commanders are going to score some points, but I don't think they can keep up with Ben's offense.
I mean, that's the thing is, you know, we're talking about a very consistently performing offense here in Detroit, which is why I'm chesty about this one. And it's the kind of game that if they go out and they play their game, football teams and players aren't chess pieces and move the same way every week. So there is that factor. But the Lions, their consistency offensively is where my confidence lies. Blitz thingy next, 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Hirsch, Scott Anderson, Kang behind the glass. Every Thursday throughout the NFL season, we do the blitz thingy. Let's tee it up and go. Coins in the air.
Tails.
It is a head I will receive.
Oh, that was a quick call.
Yeah, it was a quick
call. He wanted it. Did you even see the coin flip, Gator?
I mean, I did.
Oh, you did? Okay, I was just making sure. I felt like he might
have. He was quick to pull it away. Exactly. He's all head.
All right. Okay, here we go.
All right, I got it. He's throwing the phone in my face.
Divisional weekend football questions here. Question number one. Where does Sam Darnold end up next season?
Back in Minnesota on a franchise tag. They have a ton of cap space. And look, they know they got a guy that can make the playoffs with him because they did this year, and somehow they won 14 games. I don't want to take away credit from him completely, but they can't know on JJ yet. JJ needing a second procedure on his knee is a tough break for them because they probably would be able to get a sense and see him practice a little bit before they had to make the decision. But I think it makes the most sense to bring him back on a franchise tag. They got cap space to do it. And let JJ battle for the job, and then they can make a more informed decision 1 year from now.
Sam Darnold must do everything within his power to remain in Minnesota. He will not find a better situation that's out there right now. You just don't have it. There's no way you can tell me any of these other open quarterback situations are even half as good as what he's got in Minnesota. The reason he was able to resurrect his career, so to speak, was because of all the offensive weaponry he has at his disposal. That arsenal is amazing, and he did really well with it until the Lions, you know, just smacked him back down, and the Rams did the same thing. Those are the only two teams to beat Minnesota all season long, in the regular season and then in the postseason. It was two stretches of two losses in a row to Detroit and Los Angeles. I don't believe in Sam Darnold, but he was really good with Minnesota. I think the Vikings would be foolish not to bring him back, like Doug said, at least on a one-year deal. I don't think I'd franchise him because I don't think you have to franchise him because I don't think any other team is going to give him some sort of long-term, you know, four-year, $200 million deal that you would give a quarterback. I think you can get him for less than that, and that's the approach I would take if I were Minnesota. We'll bring it back for a year, but it's going to be at a discount. We'll give you like $25 or $30
million. Interesting. You guys both go with the Vikings. I don't think the Vikings want him back. I think they're ready to move on with the J.J. McCarthy era. Thank you for all the memories. You did great. What a run we had, but it's over. I think it's the Raiders, and I think that Sam Darnold is the perfect bridge quarterback. Now, did he lose some money the last couple games that he played? Yes, he did. But overall, he gained money because the whole season, you have to look back at it and be like, hey, guess what? With the maybe right supporting cast, the right coaching, he can help you win some games. Now, maybe not 14 games, but he can help you get to the next quarterback. And I think the Raiders are in a position where they need that veteran quarterback, and he's shown he can do something until they get their real quarterback in there. I think he goes to the Raiders. All right, who has more on the line this weekend, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen?
I think it's Lamar Jackson because the media is so quick to turn on him and anoint Josh Allen as the next big thing. So there's more pressure on Lamar. He's got to prove he can win in the playoffs because that's the knock on him. He doesn't win enough. A 2-4 record right now in the playoffs. He's got to improve that. And the game they've got coming up on Sunday is a monster game. We're all going to be tuning in. We can't wait to see it. I think Lamar is an outstanding quarterback. I think that too many people just look at what he does with his feet and not enough people are paying attention to where he's throwing the ball accurately on time. He had a ton of touchdowns this year, touchdown passes this year. I think the pressure is on him, though, because you know the more you build somebody up, the bigger the distance is for them to fall down. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are just waiting for Josh Allen to overtake it so they can stop talking about the Lamar Jackson narrative.
I feel like the Lamar Jackson narrative is somewhat cemented. I feel like the Josh Allen narrative could take a huge turn if they lose at home for the third consecutive year in the playoffs. So I'm going Josh Allen has more to lose here because I think the opinion of him in the postseason can change more.
I think you're both kind of right. So I'm going to go with Lamar right now. He's got the two MVPs. That's why, you know, so many people expect so many things from him. He might have a third MVP at the end of this season. But if Josh Allen doesn't win this game, Doug, you're right. At home, I don't care. He needs some heat on him as well at this point. And he might win the MVP of this season. You know, everyone sees what he can do, and he makes some amazing and great plays. But at some point, you got to get over the hump. And I think if he doesn't beat Lamar this year, he's going to start feeling Lamar heat that Lamar gets for the last couple years. All right, sticking with the quarterbacks. Is Justin Herbert overrated?
No, I actually think he's properly rated. I don't hear too many people going off on how good he is. I think he is good. He is short of being elite for sure, and I'm not sure he's really good, but I think he's properly rated. He's a quarterback that could really benefit. His reputation could really benefit from a playoff win right now, but the bottom line is here, I don't hear too many people raving about Justin Herbert, so I think he's properly rated.
I guess I hear more people raving about Justin Herbert. I think he's overrated. I thought he was overrated in college. I get it. He's got the tools. He's got a big arm. He's a bigger quarterback. He can move a little bit. He's got all those things. But when it comes to the big game, he doesn't get it done. He's had amazing regular seasons. He's had a 5,000-yard season. He had a season where he just got done throwing for only 3 interceptions in a whole year. That's great. What happened next? Loss. 14 out of 32. 4 interceptions. Come on.
I think he is overrated, and I think it's because no one wants to really criticize him, which makes him overrated, I think. Like, I think they see the skill set, kind of like with Josh Allen. He's a big, strong-armed quarterback. He's pretty mobile, not as mobile as Josh Allen, but he's got to win at some point. And I think Jim Harbaugh put him in really good positions this year. I know they didn't have maybe the necessary weapons that he would like to have eventually, because they kind of just kept, you know, they dumbed it down for Herbert this year. Kept the turnover rate really low, leaned on the defense. But they were a favorite going into Houston. I know they were the road team, but they were the favorite. And I think the receivers did let Herbert down, but ultimately you're the quarterback of the team. So in the end, I think he is slightly overrated. All right, would Deion Sanders work in Dallas?
I don't see how it can work for him in Dallas, because I think there's only room for one ego in control in Dallas, and it's Jerry Jones. Deion's got an ego, but I think it's in a good way. And Deion is a control guy, but I think in a good way. He's proven that at Colorado. I think, you know, once he gets going and he gets people to buy into it, and he's a great salesman. I can't wait to see what he does. I hope he stays at Colorado, because this is a whole new ball game for him coming in without his kid being the quarterback or having the best player in the country, you know, play every snap on the field. But I don't think it would work out in Dallas. Dallas needs to have somebody, you know, unfortunately, until Jerry changes his ways, and I don't think Jerry's changing his ways anytime soon, they need somebody that's going to be in lockstep with what Jerry wants.
I got to tell you, much of what Gator, I completely agree with him. I don't think it'll work because of the clashing egos, and Jerry wants somebody to do his bidding, and I don't think Deion is that kind of guy. I'm rooting for Deion. But as a coach, I think he still needs to prove that he can win without Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. Because having those players is one thing. What are you going to do now that they're gone? And so I like him. I'm rooting for him. I think he's a good coach. But doing it without those guys is still important to prove he's a good coach.
Yeah, but you know what? If he goes to Dallas, he didn't have to do it without Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders, and Travis Hunter. He could do it with Dak Prescott, you know, Micah Parsons, and CeeDee Lamb. So the question is, I think he's a leader of young adults. Is he a leader of men? I think in today's NFL, I think he is. And I think it would work for a short period of time. This would run old quick. I think maybe 3 years. Might be a Jimmy Johnson situation. I don't know if he gets the Super Bowls or anything like that. But I think they make the playoffs again. They're in the running for the Super Bowl. But then at some point, the egos do clash. And all right, we've had enough. We went it 3-4 years. We tried it out. We won. We didn't. Whatever. But I think it would work initially.
Yeah, I can't get away from Dallas Radio.
All right, Peyton Manning said on the Manning podcast, or Manning cast this week during the Rams game, that you don't have to give your offensive linemen gifts. He's hearing all these quarterbacks give their offensive linemen these extravagant gifts. He said, actually, if they didn't make the playoffs, Manning wouldn't give his offensive line anything. Are you with Manning on this?
No, I'm not. These aren't trophies. It's not like I'm endorsing participation trophies, but there aren't hard and fast rules for gifts. Like, if you want to gift somebody something, feel free to gift somebody something. So no, I'm not on board with him on this.
I think there are two things really interesting about this. The first is Peyton Manning made the playoffs 15 out of 17 years.
So 2 years he didn't give the
right, exactly.
Line
one of those is his rookie season. So, you know, maybe a little tone deaf on this thing when you made the playoffs every year. The other thing is, it's really interesting, he's talking about it as he's watching Sam Darnold hit the turf again and again and again and 6 more times for 9 sacks in the game. I mean, I think in the moment, it'd be really hard to endorse Sam Darnold to say, go ahead and gift your offensive lineman when he's picking himself off the field 10 times.
So I kind of think he's right. He did say, listen, you don't, these are gifts. You don't have to give them out. You know what I mean? So you kind of earn them. It's like, it is Christmas. Were you good? Were you bad? Depends on the kind of gift you get, if you get a gift at all. So I kind of understand where he's coming from, but they're your O-line, man. You got to keep them happy somehow, some way. You got to give them something. Even if you don't make the playoffs, a little something, something, you know, for the effort in case they come back next year. All right, last one. This one's going to be a college football one, guys. The college football title game is between two teams that didn't win their conference, and they both suffered the biggest upset losses of the year. And in the end, it meant nothing because they're playing each other for the title. Is this a good thing for college football?
Well, they went to the 12-team playoff format. So what you have is a mini tournament, okay? This isn't just we're going to pick the four teams and throw them in there or the top two teams and put them in there like the BCS. This is actually a tournament to get in. So the format allows for you to have a hiccup. These are two of the blue bloods of college football, right? These are two teams that people would like to see match up year in and year out because it's always going to be a good matchup because they are good year in and year out. So they lost a game earlier in the season. Okay, what did you do lately? Well, lately they picked themselves up and they won those games. Ohio State convincingly against the SEC, and Notre Dame went off and rattled off, what, 10, 11 straight wins? They've earned their spot in this final, and I think it's great.
I can't believe you gave us this question, because to me, this is not a short story. This is a novel. So here's what they did. Is it good for college football? And does it matter about those big playoff losses? Well, it doesn't matter because the playoffs are so big. So I guess the core of this question is, having a big playoff good for college football? And they have to have a big playoff because the conferences are too big. You're crowning conference champions that play half the league. So it's a watered-down champion. In my world, the playoff would have been 6 or 8 teams, and conference champions would be guaranteed spots. But you can't do that when you have 18 teams in a conference and you only play half of them. So at the core issue, what's bad for college football, in my opinion, is the mega conference. If you didn't have the mega conference, you wouldn't have to have a playoff this big. And you could see, if you wanted those losses to be punishable, they would be. But they've had to make the playoff this big because the conferences are so damn big and the conference championships are watered down. I mean, Indiana, would they have won the Big Ten if they had to play Penn State and Oregon? You know, I mean, they didn't have to play a bunch of teams. So, no, I don't think this is great for college football, but it's also year one, so I don't. Let it cook, and then we'll decide.
I don't think it's good for college football, but I don't know what college football is anymore, and that's the issue. Honestly, I don't want it to be like the NFL. I want it to be different. The best things about college football are going away. The best things, like the upsets, not winning your conference, all that stuff, it used to matter because it was college football. But I don't know what college football is anymore, so I don't think this is good for college football. It may be good for whatever they're trying to make it now, but for me, who was a college football fan, not good.
There it is. That concludes the Wide 9 Omaha 4 Down Around the League Blitz thingy. Hey, get ready to elevate your game this NFL playoff season with FanDuel, because right now all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay for any game. Just place a 3-leg NFL same-game parlay, and you'll get bonus bets back if your bet doesn't win. Same-game parlay is the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday. Build your own or choose from one of the popular same-game parlays pre-built for you on FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. So what are you waiting for? Get your no-sweat same-game parlay on America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug. FanDuel is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. The opt-in is required. Make sure you do that. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Maximum wagers $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so we had a bit of a reveal this morning. The Stadium Series game is coming up. Red Wings, Columbus Blue Jackets playing down in the Horseshoe in Columbus. And they've released the Red Wings Stadium Series jerseys. This kind of thing does seem to invoke a bit of a emotional reaction from Red Wing fans. It is hard to mess with what is otherwise considered perfection. The Red Wing logo, the sweater, the iconic Red Wing sweater. But every once in a while, there is, you know, either through league promotion or otherwise, there will be a alternate jersey worn. Was it 2 years ago they had the reverse retro jerseys? You remember that? And the Red Wings one was so boring compared to everybody else. Yeah. And that one, it was just like a red sweater with black stripes, and it said Detroit across the front. And it felt like everybody else really did something pretty dangerous and fun.
Right, and the Red Wings just literally was like retro. Oh, great, this is from 1920 when there was no creativity at all.
Yeah, just said it was hey, Detroit. It looked like the kind of thing on a knockoff video game when you weren't allowed to use the Red Wings, you know, markers, and you would just, just say Detroit. These jerseys have been released. Gator, you have seen them. Kang, have you seen them?
Yeah.
Okay. I will describe them. Apparently, the Red Wings are going to be wearing the white jerseys for the Stadium Series. We'll start at the top, though. Red helmet with a stripe down the middle, like a football helmet. And the Red Wing winged wheel logo is on the side of the helmet. What do you think of the helmet? And it's not the full winged wheel. It's just like the wings.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't hate this jersey. I'm starting it from an area where I think I'm going to grow to like it more, I guess is what I'm saying. I like that it's more the white jersey dominant with this. I like the lacing in the front.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the helmet. The helmet's different, and I think that's kind of cool. You got like the stripe down the middle, so that's, you know, automotive related or whatever, and the wing wheel on the helmet is actually pretty cool. It's more of a football helmet looking helmet than it is a hockey helmet.
Yep.
And I like that aspect to it. You got the wing wheel up on the shoulder. The script Detroit in the front, it's kind of like automotive script, I guess. Big numbers. So I'm sure the broadcasters would be happy with that.
Yeah, I think that's probably the only thing that I don't love about it, and is that the numbers on the sleeves are so big. I would describe it as awkwardly big, but this is not a deal breaker. And if anybody should be sympathetic to the broadcasters in a football play-by-play booth trying to see the numbers, it's me. But those numbers on the sleeves are massive. But the script Detroit along the front, you mentioned the tie-up in the middle of the jersey is cool. Apparently, it's got some octopus googly eyes on it hidden somewhere.
Well, on the back hem, I guess. I think Brad Galley had tweeted out a picture of it. Just on the back hem, there's the purple octopus, Stanley.
Gotcha. So overall, I give him a thumbs up, and I feel like we're doing talk radio in an era that we've moved beyond outrage. I think there would have been a time that we could be doing this where if the Red Wings change their jersey at all for any special occasion, it would be met with outrage. But I think we're over that now. We realize that it's probably not as important as we once thought it was.
Probably not. I'm just taking a gander now at what they've done with Columbus and their jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. The logo on the front is a cannon.
Yeah.
For the Blue Jackets, which is actually kind of cool. But they're fine. They're fine. Like I said, I think I'm going to appreciate it more over time as we get closer to the game.
There's two things about this. One, way better than the reverse retro jerseys.
Yeah.
And two, if you're going to mess with the Red Wing jersey, at least keep it in some sort of iconic old school look. I'd never want the Red Wings to wear a jersey that looks like it might have been worn during that outdoor California roller hockey league.
Right.
I don't want to, like that might work for some teams. Just anything but that in Detroit. Then I might go, okay, you're getting so far away from sort of the concept of an original six. I could see Detroit having worn, you could see that Detroit might have wore a jersey like this in the early stages before they went with what they went with.
I've got a Red Wing, kind of like a it's kind of like a hoodie pullover jersey sweatshirt that I wear that I love. I think it looks great. I think it's because it's got a big wing wheel on the front. It's got the stitching in the underneath the neck for the, you know.
I feel like you've had that jersey since I met you.
I haven't, but I've had it for probably for like 10 years, I would say at least. And the other thing I like about it is it's not white. It's like a cream color. Mm-hmm. Columbus has a similar one that they wore. That's also kind of like a cream. I like the cream color in there. If you're going to go with alternate, it's because white is almost like too fresh and too new. This kind of brings it a little bit older, but hey, it's fine.
I think it looks all right, but I actually want to get the opinion of our hockey fanatic, dude, Kenny.
Kenny is a resident Red Wing guy here.
I like that they went simple with it. It doesn't look like they went too extravagant with the jersey. The wings on the helmet, I know it's a little wink to Michigan, which, I mean, you either like that or you don't. I think that's a little silly, but other than that, I think they did a really nice job. It looks clean. It doesn't look, Doug, like you said, it doesn't look like they're trying to be the California Roller League here.
Yeah. Like, that's where I would put my foot down. I don't put my foot down about much.
No, you know.
But if I did, it would be that. Red Wing fans, thumbs up or thumbs down on these things. And, of course, they'll be for sale, right? Fanatics?
Oh, yeah. They're already – I think they go on sale today, actually. That's really? Yeah. Well, in fact, I can tell you for sure they've gone on sale today.
Fanatics.com. So they're already on sale?
Well, there was a press release from the Red Wings. NHL and Fanatics debut uniforms for the Stadium Series, and the starting today, the jerseys will be available for pre-order exclusively at all Blue Jackets and Red Wings team store locations.
All right. So,
team store locations. The Blue Jackets fans can pre-order their jerseys via the web, their online store, but I think for the Red Wings, if you want to get these right now anyway, you have to get it from the team store.
So you have to go to LCA? Well, check them out for yourself. They're everywhere on the internet. 248-539-9797. And look, our opinions aren't the only ones that matter. I don't know if there's still the never touch the Red Wing jersey crowd out there. I think that it's probably cooled down a little bit, but you know, I think they're pretty cool. I think they're pretty cool looking, but these things are not, it's not as defined by science. It's everybody's opinion. I do kind of like the stripe down the middle of the helmet. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it's a good look. 248-539-9797. All right, coming up, there is some reporting on the coaches, and it feels like that's sort of the wheels churning behind the screen there with the Lions getting ready on the marquee. They're taking on Washington, but behind the scenes, all kinds of talk about their assistant coaches getting raided. But it kind of had me thinking today, Gator, how much is on the line? Like, we get in today and Adam Schefter says he's certain that Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn are going to get jobs this cycle.
Yeah, both. He said he's certain that both will get head coaching gigs.
And I'm willing to accept that as a fate, but it makes me realize how much is really on the line. Like, the disaster scenario of losing this game, and I think they're going to win the game, but if they lose this game at home, And this time next week, I mean, it would be this time next week. Those guys are probably accepting those jobs.
It can
just crash so fast that I really, 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 really hope that I'm correct in feeling like they're going to win the game.
Yeah, I hear you. I thought briefly about this last night that I'm like, do I even prepare myself? I don't want to prepare myself. For what if? I don't want to go there.
No, you don't.
I just there's no point in going there right now. So I'm confident. I'm chesty. I like their opportunities. But yeah, if things don't go well, then this point next week we could be talking about the search for two new coordinators.
You know, and it's funny because historically we're not talking about the playoffs as much as we are. I mean, we do talk about them, but. We talk about them as outside observers. This year, we're participants, A. B, we're not talking about the draft. And we certainly aren't talking about people rating our assistant coaches. All new things getting used to here.
No, we're also not talking about why isn't a backup quarterback getting more snaps.
Exactly. That's a good point. So,
you know, he's mobile.
And he's probably better than Jared Goff. Hot take. 248-539-9797. All right, coming up, we will hear from the coordinators next hour. Every once in a while, we reach out and we ask the audience for help. There are things that are happening, that things that people around Michigan are doing that we don't know anything about. One of those is ice fishing. We've got an ice fishing story we're going to need some help with. We'll get to that today.
They need some help.
At 11:07 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.